awful song.
No, it's not.
Every one of her songs are awful.
There's no,
not a single good one.
I actually like some Britney songs.
No.
I do.
No. Do a mic check.
Check. No, okay.
You're too low.
Okay.
Go ahead and do another mic check.
Gonna do another mic check.
Okay.
How's it going?
I think that'll be all.
Good?
Okay. Yeah, I think that'll be all right. How do I look? Pop. Check. Okay. Whatever. We're all set.
Yep.
I guess. Screw it. Whatever. Welcome to the Daily Cup of Genre, everyone. The show where we get to talk about everything in geek and entertainment news. It's on LRMonline.com and LRM's YouTube channel, as well as LRM's Genreverse Podcast Network, of course, brought to you by the good folks over at Grow Generation, where the pros do go to grow. More on them a little bit later. And I'm Kyle Malone. That's Christine Malone. And it was a long week with two episodes. Well, two now.
Yeah.
We had the Ghostbusters review on Monday. You guys think I was harsh? You should see Red Letter Media's review, because, well, wow. It is what it is, though. Go ahead and check it out if you would. I was disappointed in the movie. Like, that was the biggest feeling for me, was disappointment. Like, there's nothing but nostalgia moments, like images and names for Ghostbusters. Like,
yeah,
there's no team element. There's no style of humor reminiscent of that. Their dry attempts really fall flat, and their adult attempts, of course, are PG-13 as hell.
They're
actually
weird.
Like PG, more than PG-13. They waste a bunch of characters. They do things that are out of character for some of the old guys. There's
technical
glitches.
So, I mean,
do you really think, without spoiling anything, do you really think the guy on the phone wouldn't have believed the other guy when he said, "Hey, something big is happening"? I mean, think about it.
I don't know.
I don't see it falling apart the way it's explained.
I don't know. I remember how I was. I know it's different, like with being a teenager, but, you know, comparing, you know, that long in time, like, I'm a very different person.
No, I'm,
so it's like,
but we're talking about two adults, not the kids.
I know that.
We're talking about old school Ghostbusters
people
that have already gone through Ghostbusters 1, go through Ghostbusters 2,
yes.
And then the explanation they give on why the Ghostbusters are in the situation they're in. It doesn't make sense that they wouldn't have believed the story. It just doesn't.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean,
I guess I'm trying to make excuses. I don't know.
Exactly. You're trying to even reach back to, well, I changed a lot when I was a kid to when I was a teenager. No, we're talking like 40-year-old men that have already fought a god, and all of a sudden they're going to be like, oh, you think something bigger's coming? You're crazy.
Don't shrug at me.
I know. I'm asking. Like, does that make any in universe sense?
Not really.
Yeah. So yeah, it is what it is. But it was just disappointing because I wanted a Ghostbusters movie. Instead, I got a long episode of Stranger Things. I mean, that's what it is. It's two kids, Finn Wolfhard and Eleven, but this time they're brother and sister. Going out to deal with something that's above their pay grade, while all of the adults are idiots, right?
If you want to make it that basic, then yeah.
Okay, it's fine. I like Stranger Things.
Things is Stranger Things,
right? I love the Goonies and I love Monster Squad. But
there goes your phone.
Yeah, like I said, as an adult. I have more appreciation for Ghostbusters 1. I didn't expect it to be Ghostbusters 1, but I expected at least Ghostbusters 2.
And that's the thing. It was kind of like it was trying to be, but not. Because it's like I didn't need Gozer again.
Yeah.
I didn't need the Keymaster and Gatekeeper again. Like, to me, that was like, eh. you probably shouldn't have. Like, I like how they did it with the video game, mm-hmm. where it was like continuation, but it's not, you know,
it was new baddie. I like how Shandor actually like uses the Mandela's and becomes more powerful than Gozer. Kills Gozer off. You know, like Gozer failed me before, failed me twice. Screw them, right? And then because he does bring Gozer back in the video game there towards the beginning of it, but yeah, it was just disappointing. It's a competent movie. A lot of people love it for what it is. It's not a Ghostbusters movie. So, anyways, to get off of Ghostbusters ass, because you guys
finally,
because you guys can definitely go check out my review. Red Letter Media does a good review, but they even say some things that I disagree with. Where I'm like, I think you guys are, you know, off the mark there, but you know. Go ahead and check all that out. I, on the other hand, found a couple of Spider-Man clips for us to watch, and one of them is actually a commercial for Hyundai, and I thought, why not give it a chance? So you want to watch a couple Spider-Man clips? We got a commercial and then a TV spot released over in Canada. So I'm pretty sure everywhere has got it, but that's the YouTube channel I found it on, Sony Pictures Canada.
Okay.
All right, guys. So this is the Hyundai Only Way Home commercial.
Spider-Man, a.k.a. Peter Parker, is a criminal. That's why he's hiding. Like,
it's time to clear my name.
Nice. I still love the moving eyes more than anything. Yeah, I know. You can't go anywhere.
Come on.
Is this funny?
Spider-Man. Is he stranded? Yes, he is.
Haha. Happy? Or just some random person?
Ned?
Oh, Ned!
Hey, man. How'd you find me?
My Ned sense. But also, time to face your destiny.
What?
I don't know, I just wanted to say something really cool.
So, what are we gonna do for 300 miles?
I spy something red.
Net.
Me?
Nah, darn.
I like that, that's cute.
That's it was cute.
Yeah, I dug that. That's a fun little commercial. Oh, let's see if there's a little bit more. Anything else? No.
You'll see.
Doctor Strange. Okay, I like that. You know, product placement's one of those things that can get a bit bad rap. Mm. Everyone loved to point to the Krispy Kreme stuff in the last
Power Rangers.
I thought it was funny too, but here's the funniest thing. Krispy Kreme doesn't pay for advertisement.
Correct.
They don't.
Yeah, I knew that.
Check us, guys. Like, I didn't know that before. Found out about that. I always excused the Power Rangers thing as if it was like tongue in cheek. Like they were doing it in movie on purpose, and they were. But I didn't know that there was absolutely no money involved. So I actually liked it even more.
It made sense because. You know, then when I found out that they didn't advertise, it's like, you know what? Shit. Yeah, I've never seen anything. So, and I remember when, you know, they got big mm-hmm. in Clarksville, everyone was just like, oh, Dunkin' Donuts is garbage. I'm just like, it's fried bread with sugar on it. Not really, no.
And then we discovered Duck Donuts here.
Oh. You did. I'm not allowed to eat it.
Oh, cake donuts, maple icing with bacon on top. All right, anyways, TV spot time. Let's do this.
Yes.
They're starting to come through and I can't stop them.
When you're thinking I'm about to do something that could break
who's
the universe,
coming
through? Oh, I know you.
Run it. All these people I didn't want to see.
We need to send them back.
You're not going to take this away from me.
Like arc reactor on him and it is the nanobots on
they all die.
Ock.
Spider-Man. Mm.
I still don't like the idea of putting the shield on on the Statue of Liberty. I like the TV spot. Good job, Sony, on not giving away too much like you normally do. Just a few more weeks for that one, Christine.
Yeah.
I'm getting nervous.
No.
I'm getting nervous just because I don't know how it's going to land. I've been scared of this movie.
I'm wondering if there's just going to be parts that I'm going to really enjoy, and then, you know, parts that I don't. Kind of like the like with Star Wars, the newer
sequel trilogy.
Yeah. Although I will say, and I don't know if this is an unpopular opinion. I haven't been doing any looking because I don't care to look at people's opinions because I'm just really not into. Not just your opinions, that's not the point. It's that I'm not really interested in what's going on with Spider-Man very much. I'm just not excited, but I'm tired of the love interest falling.
Oh, yeah, well, you have to do that. Spider-Man.
It's annoying.
I'll agree with that. And I'll bring up they had already done a callback to Gwen's fall in Homecoming. With Liz down the elevator shaft in the Washington Monument, so you already did it. Do we have to do
it
again?
But it's not dramatic enough.
You know, I don't know. That was pretty dramatic, but you know, but with
romance involved. You know,
well, there was he was into her and stuff.
Oh yeah, that's yeah.
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 So they do that.
I'm sorry, I forgot about you.
They do that callback already. You're right to do it again. They do it with Mary Jane in the first film with the cable car, the Roosevelt Island cable car, I think it is. And her falling, and you know he saves her and the cart, and then you have Gwen's actual fall and death in the Amazing Spider-Man 2, and then Liz in Homecoming, and now. MJ in No Way Home.
Yeah,
it's like the Uncle Ben's story. You know, we've heard it. We didn't need to. I know everyone's like, oh, we needed to see it again. It's like Batman's parents being killed in the alley and Pearl's fall. Do we need to see it? We all know
exactly.
And I agree with you. We don't need another fall scene.
Yes. So then, not 3, 4.
Yeah.
Yeah. My bad.
Yeah,
anyway,
it's all right. It's all good.
Either way, it's dumb.
Yeah, I am. I like what I see with Ock though.
Yeah,
I do, and I have a feeling that he's not necessarily. I don't know because it's said that he's picked up after the incident in the river, or at least that's what we're. Hearing, I'm not sure what's official or not, but so it's like he knows he can control the arms to a degree if he has that memory from the last minute before he died in the other universe. So I'm wondering, you know, what's going on with him. I don't think he's necessarily going to be a bad guy through the whole thing. Hopefully at the end, though, he does rise up to remain the goddamn bad guy, because fucking Disney, I know you guys love your PG-13 family-friendly and anti-hero stuff, but I like what Ed Brubaker said about Uncanny X-Men 500 when I asked, you know, hey, Magneto's been this good guy for so long, why'd you decide to make him bad again? Because Magneto is a bad guy. Dr. Octopus is a bad guy.
Yes.
I need my bad guys to be bad guys, my heroes to be heroes, and my anti-heroes to have a very clear line of what makes them an anti-hero. I get mad of us all having to find good stuff in the bad guys. Let there be more Sephiroth. Let there be more classic prequel Vader, where he's
some people are just awful,
right? Where he's bad guy, yeah. And in his redemption, it requires self fucking sacrifice. Not, oh, yeah. Look at me, I get to live on and sell more toys. So, Anyways, we have a guest segment on here, and it was actually we're going to be traveling into the past where we traveled into the future for that guest segment. Jason Stewart, a comedian and actor. I do a good introduction for him, but it was a fun segment. Unfortunately, our son had a bit of a breakdown and interrupted. Christine had to go take care of that, and we
kids.
We go all over the place from his style of comedy, talking about some upcoming shows. Very funny dude. I don't know if it was a bit that he was doing in the interview or if he legitimately thought he wrote came up with a good joke to jot down. Regardless,
he's hilarious.
Moments like that. I've made jokes before where I'm like, damn, man, I should write that down and remember it in case I ever want to do stand up. Of course, I never remember to write it down, but it's a fun interview, guys. I hope you check it out. And Jason, thank you once again, and we'll talk to you guys on the other side. You know what? Actually, I know I'm going to have to add a cut there. We're going to do our ad break first, and then you'll see Jason's segment, and we'll see you on the other side of that. So, Grow Generation, take it away.
Grow Generation, where the pros go to grow. For all of your cultivation needs, Grow Generation has the right products, service, and staff to make your grow successful. Go to www.growgeneration.com, where the pros go to grow.
Oh, and there he is. Hi. Mr. Jason Stewart. Hello. How's it going?
Fine. How are you guys?
Good.
I'm doing outstanding. Thank you so much for asking, Jason. Welcome to the Daily Cup of Genre, the LRM Online's Genreverse Podcast Network's variety show, if you will. We cover everything here, man, and I am super excited to have you on the show. Stand-up comedian, actor, producer, director. You do a whole bunch of stuff, over 150 film credits, TV credits, a stand-up thing coming up on January 8th at the Desert Rose Playhouse, as well as a show that you're doing December 3rd at the Comedy Chateau.
Yes, God, you're really on it.
Yeah. Thank you. I'm Kyle. This is my wife, Christine. And, dude, you got this headline thing coming up on January 8th. You got the thing at the Comedy Chateau. Tell us a bit about that so you can plug the things that you got going up before we can get into the weird questions.
Okay. The show is going to be about, I guess, what it's like to live next door to my mom. My mom is 84 and still shops at Forever 71. It's great. And I actually, 2 years ago, moved to Palm Springs. And I live here around 80% of the time when I'm not in LA working. And we live in this sort of fourplex. And I'm up here. And then she's downstairs here. It's like, you know, loser. That's what it says. Loser. You know, it's all about me living next door to her, you know. And I guess I'm now a spinster, and people walk by and go say things like, oh, that's Jason Stewart. He never found anyone. He's alone. Right.
Aww.
And then people throw balls on my grass and stuff. I keep it now because that's who I am. And if they're over 21, they get to stay.
I like that. That's good, man. I tell you what, we're both huge fans of stand up. It's one of the great joys in life to just be able to laugh. And I know a lot of comedians that I've spoken to a couple, and then you hear it often, making people laugh has got to be incredibly rewarding, especially over the last couple of years. So thank you for helping us laugh. Your style of comedy is very funny. I appreciate it.
Well, somebody wrote somewhere, if Joan Rivers and Don Rickles would have a child, it would be me.
You know, I have an unfortunate and fortunate name, Kyle. My wife didn't know all the jokes about my name, even going back to George Carlin. And so I've been into that as long as I can remember.
What's the jokes about your name? I never heard any jokes about the name Kyle.
Oh, Kyles are assholes.
Oh, are they?
Yeah.
So you two are on the internet quite a bit.
Yeah, absolutely.
I go on to work and then I try to be in real life.
Yeah.
I want to meet some real people and actually talk to them. The other day I called someone on the phone, this young guy, and I asked him to come and hang up a TV or something. And he said, "Oh, you're calling me." I said, "Yes." He said, "Oh, I see." He said, "Most people text." I said, "Well, I don't know you. How am I going to?" And he goes, "Oh, okay." And he didn't know what to do. He could barely speak, the poor thing. And then he came to the house. It was very difficult for him to look up from the phone. And I said, "When I was a kid, we had this thing that used to hang on the wall and it had a cord." And he goes, "What's a cord?"
Yeah.
"It's a cord, you know." And we would walk around and my mother would be on the cord and the phone. "Hey, you kids, stop that shit." You know,
yeah.
Yeah.
I used to, my bra, take it off your head, you know.
Oh, man. Dude, talking about phones, we're both the same way. And
that's a great thing. I'm going to write that down.
It is. I like that one. Using technology, like we're doing this Zoom call for interview right now, man. It's weird. I'm stuck in that mid, you know, born in the mid 80s, so I'm close to 40, and I'm stuck in between X and millennials. My sister, on the other hand, 100%, don't call me, text. I don't want to text you. I got a whole paragraph. I don't want to do that. I want to talk.
A lot of work.
Yeah.
I leave a message, and if they want to text back, I don't text someone unless I know them well, because I think it's too easy to misunderstand. My partner, not my romantic partner, but my writing acting partner on my series Smothered, Mitch Hara, loves to text all day long, just these feelings, and I never know what he's talking about half the time. And he misspells things or writes the wrong word or gets the name wrong, and then he'll say things like, "Oh, you don't really read what I'm doing, you know." But it's over a 3-hour time. I'm actually doing something else that doesn't involve you. Mm-hmm. Oh.
Yeah.
I kind of wanted to ask a bit about the last 18 months, and sometimes I'm a big fan of the things that go on behind the scenes. I love the different hats besides what goes in front of the camera, so directing and producing and all of that. So all the guests, we've kind of done the cliche thing about asking what it's been like working on things like your show, your craft, and both in front and behind the scenes during these last 18 months. What's that been like for you?
I think it's been scary. It's been creative. It's been sad. It's been a nice time to sort of reset and think about what I'm doing with my life. I keep thinking that I want to write a piece about getting older and about bias and about the way people treat people of age with a certain bias. And it's sort of hard to understand until you get there, until someone decides that you're that person who's older. You're not a part of this group anymore. You're not a part of this mainstream thing. And then being a gay person or a Jewish person, I've always been sort of off to the side. No, you know, oh, there's my, I forgot to shut off my.
That's okay. I was making sure it wasn't mine.
Email. Because I had to bring it up to Zoom you. So the idea of biased and people, you know, my black friends and my women friends have really taught me about bias and about privilege. And I certainly know that I, being a white man, have privilege. You know, my friend Alila, who's black, said to me, "The difference between you and I is that when you walk into an audition, they get to reject you inside the room, whereas I'm rejected before I even get there." And I thought, "Ooh, that's interesting." Which is better? I don't know. I would guess getting in the room is better because you can change minds and hearts. But there's a certain bias on someone who is famous or known for being gay than there is for someone who is straight. I was at an award show where Tom Hanks was getting an award for being the everyman. Now, I love Tom Hanks.
Yeah,
I'm a Tom Hanks fan. He has played everything from a gay man to an astronaut to a southerner to an army sergeant to a special needs guy to everything to a criminal. And he gets to do all that, where, you know, other people are not an everyman. Now, why is not Whoopi Goldberg an every woman? Why is Angelina Jolie always the love interest? Why is, you know, why is that? Why are we all assigned the Hollywood or the internet tells us what's attractive and what's beautiful and what's, you know, where we should stand in life. And it is changing. It is changing very much. You know, but
absolutely.
But there's still this. There's still a privilege to that for certain people. You'll hear casting directors always say, "Well, I cast the best person for the role." I don't think so. I think it's the best person that fits into this bias and this idea of who they think this person should be.
Yeah.
Stories of, and also who, and then when you get representation, it's the person who believes that you are the one that can make money, and they don't believe that you can make money unless you're like another kind of person.
I've always, as weird as it sounds, because again being interested in that behind the scenes thing, when it comes to representation, you do have those that are truly trying to do good things in the studio networks, and then you have those trying to make sure they make money, check a box, this, that, and the other. It's always interesting to hear people that aren't, you know, straight white dude, get to talk about those interactions. And you were talking about I have a brain injury, and sometimes it dumps out everything, but you were mentioning the joke about the 1% in one of your bits, and how you've done them all.
I read the paper the other day that only 1% of the country is gay, and if that's true, I've slept with everyone.
Yeah. You were wondering about like the up and coming, because like you said, humans are garbage, so there's always work to be done. But,
exactly. But yeah. I was just wondering the as far as like the what was my question?
The up and coming comedians.
Yeah, like when. You've seen more of it. You've seen more representation.
But what's interesting is you see people coming up, and some of them are incredibly talented. It's not about that. But then you see, oh, that's interesting. So there's two guys that are gay comedians that have come up recently. Both of them have killer muscle bodies. Mm. And I think to myself, wow. So in our those are the ones that have been able to get on television a bit and also become, and I think that's interesting, because the comedians used to be where the funny people could be. You didn't have to be good looking, and now you have to be good looking to be a comedian of sorts. You know, certainly there's, it's not all one thing, but it's just interesting that that's the way it has. And for gay men, you know, we're the only group of people, and it's not all, and it has gotten better, but we're the only group of people that don't support each other in the same way that you wouldn't see Barbra Streisand hosting the BET Awards, but you would see Kathy Griffin hosting a gay award show. So you wouldn't see, you know, Denzel Washington hosting, you know, Asian American Awards. You know?
Right.
But as gay men, we do that all the time. We put women on a pedestal, and we put them before ourselves.
That's so interesting.
Whether it be, you know, from Streisand to Diana Ross to, you know, Ariana Grande to Cardi B, you know. So, yeah. Whereas
that's a very interesting.
Other groups don't do that in the same way. So it presents another problem. And I always, my first comedy CD was called Gay Comedy Without a Dress.
Mm-hmm.
Because there had been very few comedians that were male who had done comedy without being in drag or being an actual woman that were successful. And it's still a process. It's still, though it has gotten better. I do think it has gotten better, you know, but then you get older and then they say you're too old. They don't say it, but they treat you.
Never too old. Keep going, you know?
But go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, because it's like every generation has a little something to give. And I would love to see you keep going. I think you are hilarious, and I love your work.
That's very kind. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, you know, one of the things that I do like to do here on the Daily Cog is work in segments and going to kind of break the fourth wall here and let everyone know that we're going to be releasing this after Thanksgiving. We're secretly recording in the past, ladies and gentlemen. But we do a cool thing called Friday Frights, and the only reason I bring this up
is this going to be on Friday?
Yes, absolutely.
So it is Friday now.
Yes, it's Friday.
Oh my God, what happened Friday?
That just like
hold on, it's like Bewitched.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There you yeah. go.
That is the gayest show on television. Oh, gay. And Dora, gay.
More than
Dr. Bombay, seem gay. Paul Lynn, gay. Both, you know, Dick Sargent, gay.
What about I Dream of Jeannie?
I don't know.
Yeah, that one. Yeah, there,
not
there you
as gay, but I think that the people on Bewitched were angry about it because I think they copied their show. Though it was a fun show, but I think they did, and they did copy the show. But why? Yeah. Why was she in that bottle? If she had all those powers, why didn't she just go like this and get out?
What was it? Aladdin, grand cosmic powers, itty bitty living space.
Yeah.
Late Robin Williams, genie bit in that movie, but. The reason why I bring it up is Friday we like to talk horror every now and then, and I saw you had
horror?
A couple
about
of horror. Yeah, horror. Oh,
horror is not about horror.
Horror. No, not about horror.
No, we're not talking about horrors.
No, we can do that later if you've got some a couple good horror stories. Yes. There you go. Yeah, I was going to say I saw some titles that were definitely in the horror, maybe even thriller genre.
Thriller a lot.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And one of the things I've found, and it's been for a while, but Jordan Peele and Danny McBride have kind of brought to light comedians doing horror, right?
I would love to do that stuff with them. God, I would love
cool.
that. There's the question, man. Like, what
yeah,
are
what's your favorite?
What I want you know what I want to do. I want to play that old guy that works at the store. You know, and when they come into town, what you kids doing here?
Right. Yeah, that ominous feeling. Yeah,
you
cool.
Why don't you kids go home now?
The Harbinger.
There's yeah.
Cabin in the Woods.
There's hair for you, Kyle.
I love
that,
it.
You take that little girl with you and get out of here because, you know, we're going to get you.
What's your favorite horror movie, man? Like, what's your go-to?
Well,
comfort?
Get Out certainly is one of my favorites.
Nice.
The Exorcist.
Classic. I saw that way too young, like, seven, eight years old.
House of Wax when I was a kid with Vincent Price.
Mm. Oh, cool.
Classic.
Oh, God. So many. You know, I did a film last year, or it came out last year, called Immortal, which is kind of a science fiction thriller. It's really good. And it's these four segments about these four different people that just won't die. And I'm in the fourth segment with a Sam Levine from Freaks and Geeks. And I play this guy who's Joe, who's a private investigator that deals with spyware. It was really one of my favorite performances that I've done.
Very cool. I saw it on the list, and it was one of the ones that caught my eye.
Amazon. Almost everything is on. God, I had like four movies come out last year on Amazon. Mm-hmm. One on Showtime, if you like action films. I did a film called Abducted. Mm-hmm. And then I have my series Smothered, which is about two guys who have been in a relationship for 30 or 40 years who hate each other but can't afford to get divorced, with my co-writer and co-star.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Mitch Harris.
I saw that one.
And you can watch that on Amazon, but it's also on Apple TV and YouTube, and you just go to smotheredtv.com, and it's very funny. And we're pre-production now on the season two. We've written, it's a short form series, so there's seven short episodes, but this season will have nine short episodes.
Very cool. Love it. One of our one of the big, like, you know, classic debates in the horror genres always goes back to those, you know, big classic three, the Freddy, Jason, and Michael. But I tell you what, as one of those weird people in between, I'm sick and tired of Ghostface Killer not getting his due. Scream was a phenomenal movie, and many people want to call it like a modern classic. No, man, that is just a straight up classic. But once again, they're coming out with a movie called Scream, which is technically Scream 5. Tell me, why can't people get naming convention right? Who is your like favorite slasher, if you have one?
Well, Anthony Perkins, Psycho. There's no better than him.
There you go. I like that deep cut right there.
That film. And then The Birds was those two films were just, oh my God. It was, you know, the Birds is just a brilliant performance by Rod Taylor, right? And Tippi Hedren and Jessica Tandy and Angela Cartwright. Loved. Is it Angela or is it?
I am checking right now. IMDb Birds.
Angela. I think it's Angela.
Let's see. He said Tippi got Rod Taylor, Tippi Hedren, Jessica Tandy, Suzanne Plashet, Veronica Cartwright.
Oh, Veronica. Okay.
Yep. Veronica. Okay. Yep. There we go.
Yeah. Yeah. And then also, I don't know, I was on Goliath this season. Mm-hmm. In October it came down, the Billy Bob Thornton series. I was opposite J.K. Simmons. I had a scene in that. And that is sort of a thriller of sorts. It's Steve David E. Kelly series. It was the last season. I guess sort of, yeah, I think that thriller.
Simmons and
Bruce Dern. I got to work with Bruce Dern. I mean, God. Doesn't get better than that. Black Sunday, Nebraska, Coming Home. They shoot horses, don't they? You know, The Hateful Eight.
So jealous.
I'm jealous too. I wish I've only worked one day on it, but that's the hardest thing being an actor is not, you want to come back and be a part of the party, you know, and you want to, and that's what I was talking about before. It's about, when talent meets opportunity, and opportunity, you know, I that's what I've thought in the last 2 years is about bias so much and how I've blamed myself, I think, over the years. There's so much, you know, I was talking with my mom who lives next door. And
that's got to be rough sometimes.
We've had some incredible, it's really been great. We've had some incredible conversation. I said, Mom, what was it like having a gay kid grow up in the 70s? What was it like? You know, and she said, I said, don't hold back. Don't try to be nice to me. Don't be polite. She said it was awful. She said it was humiliating. It was scary. We were afraid for you. We didn't know. It was uncomfortable. It was shameful, you know, and all these things. Of course, she said, I don't feel like that now. But at that time, there was no gay people in my family except me. So there was this idea that I was going to have this awful limited life. And in some respect, it was hard. And it, you know, I went into a business that would have rather had me been a hairdresser or a makeup man.
Yeah.
Rather than in front of the camera. And I see myself as a character actor. I see myself playing both gay and straight roles. And when I did Birth of a Nation 5 years ago, people were just like shocked that I could play a plantation owner in 1831 and I had a really nice part. And it's interesting, that experience changed me. It really taught me, you know, that all the things that I had thought about myself. And then I did a film called Hank, a little one. I did like 30 projects after that, everything from tiny little short films to guesting on Love for, you know, Judd Apatow, and working with Keanu Reeves on Swedish Dicks and all these wonderful people that I got to work with. And then everything sort of stopped in the pandemic. And you think to yourself, you know, where do you stand? Will I be able to get back in line? How will people treat my body of work? Will they, you know, am I treated the same way a straight person is? I don't think so. I don't feel that. And that's something that I struggle with in my life and causes me a bit of depression at times. And, that you work so hard and at the same time, how do you not go, oh, sour grapes, you know? Because there's a lot of people in our business that you know, got famous for doing one thing and they just never changed, didn't want to change and wanted to continue doing the same thing. And I've never done that. I've always changed. And I've always tried, you know, I'm not the same actor who, you know, did My Wife and Kids literally 20 years ago. Played Dr.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that show is that long ago? Wow.
Same guy. And I think that I've grown and changed and I've stepped up. So you think, how do you go about living your life, going for your dreams, wondering where you belong in all of this? I don't really quite know, because I'm in that. My stand-up special was called Making It to the Middle 15 years ago. So I don't, or 14 years ago. So I don't know what, you know, I don't know where I fit in sometimes.
Well, wow. It's good that you're someone who can change, because that's so important. Someone just staying still and just being stagnant won't get you anywhere. So you already have the right mindset. So I think that you will continue on, and I look forward to seeing other things that you are going to be doing.
Well, I remember when Lucille Ball came back to television and did a series in called Life with Lucy in the 80s, I think it was. And, you know, she's trying to do the pratfalls and play the Lucy character in her 70s. And it was like, oh, she's going to break a hip. You know, she falls off that ladder. It was just
Harrison Ford and Indy, Indy 5.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, it was a different thing. Though when you saw Skyfall and you saw Judi Dench and all these incredible people running around. So it's just how you do something. Like in England, they let people age and they respect that. Here they don't.
Yeah, definitely.
That's true.
Yeah. And it's weird talking about that, because every generation curses the one before it and the one after it, and most of the time rightly so, for different reasons. Like I said, humans we fucking suck sometimes.
Yeah, we fail sometimes,
but yeah. It's that flexibility and that willingness to grow, and that ability to hear that voice in the back that's like, don't take the easy way out, don't be lazy, put some effort into it, because otherwise we wouldn't have any kids, because those things are annoying.
You have kids?
We have one. Yes.
Oh, I can't have kids. I have nice furniture. I just can't.
That is a perfect reason not to. Our house has more holes in the drywall from Lucas than Kyle, and that's a meme.
I'm Kyle's always afraid drywall. I'm going to get a kid I don't like. What do I do? What do I do? You know, but this, I'm sorry to bring it back to the clerk and go, I'm sorry, this is just not working out. No, I don't want store credit, but thank you.
And you can't really put it back. I think, speaking of our kid, I think he might be at the door, Christine.
How old is he?
He is 8 years old, and he is awesome. He's been getting into gaming more and more, which is a lot of fun.
No. Yeah, but it's very lucrative. I hate to, I'm teasing, but it's incredibly lucrative.
Oh, it is. We of course are limited on what he does. There's one game that he plays online only when I'm there to play with him, and it's a cartoony first person shooter called Team Fortress.
Where people get shot.
It is.
And he dominates adults.
Cartoony.
It's funny.
It's actually what that Fortnite game stole most of its stuff from.
I have a problem with all that, because.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, don't be sorry, because the idea of people getting shot so much late, the thing that happened with Kyle Wittenhouse, where people feel that they can take the law into their own hands and say, I don't like what's going on, go in there, bring a gun, have his mother at 17 drop him off with a, you know, this large assault rifle and kill two people and cripple another person for life, and that being okay. And that's it's just insanity. And I do think these games and these movies, and I hate to say it, but we put such, you know, everybody wants to be in a superhero movie. It means more than anything. All the money is spent on them. All the produce, all the publicity is spent on them more than any other movie.
Yeah.
And when you present something to someone and you say, hey, this is great. Here's, here is Avengers 62, and it's and the ad is this big, and then you go, here's the movie The Humans, and it's just this tiny. Here's The Humans, it's this tiny little, you know, film. Yeah. They don't release things, and they don't give it the same credence. Whereas you know, it used to be the other way around. Like in the 70s, you'd have these great movies that were released by the studios, and now they don't do it. Now it's all indie or gone to. You know, gone like The Humans is coming out today. It's it's a play that was about it's about a family. I think it's about Thanksgiving, and this would have been done, you know, 30 years ago or 40 or whenever the 70s was. It would have been released as a studio picture with great publicity, but now it's being released on Showtime. And you know, and that's great that it's there and more people will probably see it. But it is interesting the way, that's what I was talking about, the way things are presented and how you are treated and how you are presented to somebody and who represents you and what is in life represents things that I've been thinking about lately and why I feel the way I feel.
Absolutely. And everybody's different in the way that they're exposed to things. There's something I had to go through after my deployment. I was in the Army for 17 years, and I did Iraq once and Afghanistan twice.
Thank you.
I had to do something called exposure therapy to kind of process some of the things that I had gone through. Uh-huh. And one of the aspects of that, of course, is purposefully reliving trauma and exposing yourself to things again and again to show, hey, you made it, you survived, and programming, kind of reprogramming your brain on how it deals with that trauma. And
how did you do that? Did you do it?
In session so there's only certain things you can physically expose yourself to, but in session they'll ask you to go over a memory and an event. And you'll describe it, and then they'll say, "Okay, well, what are the smells?" So you have to go back and reach.
Oh, so it's a sense memory, yeah. Like in an acting class.
Yes, very, very, very similar. And one of the things that are combined in that is another type of therapy. I can't remember the acronym, but the way that you can expose kids to things and showing the differences between reality and make believe, whether it's, you know, a superhero movie, a violent game, or even something super fantastical like Harry Potter is all very important. But you're absolutely right that if you don't have the right guidance and all you're fed is certain images, you don't have that touchstone to go back to help keep you grounded.
Well, it doesn't mean anything at times. That's what happens. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean the same thing when the kids go on these games and they shoot people and they die. It doesn't mean the same thing,
right? Mm-hmm. Without something to go back.
Yeah, and it's so important for people to teach their kids, you know.
But how,
you know, not to be afraid of all that.
It's so out of your control, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Not really. I get my dad was also our Army, and I can tell you the first movie I can remember watching is Hamburger Hill. Do you know that one by chance?
Oh, of course, Dylan McDermott made him a star.
There you go. That is my earliest movie memory. Sitting in an apartment in Tacoma, Washington. My sister wasn't even born yet, so this is 88. I'm four-ish. And my dad, being the infantry gung-ho 80s warmonger he was, it's all good. It was fun because he always was telling me, you know, this is fantasy, this is you know, historical fiction, if you will, and this is reality. And so I've tried to keep that, and not just with of violence, even fantastical elements, things dealing with magic and superheroes. It's humans can't do that, but buddy, you know, this is fantasy. You can't jump off of a building and survive. So yeah, but one of the
want to.
Yeah,
I mean, if you're gonna jump
watching
off.
One of the Iron Man with Gwyneth Paltrow, and she kept jumping around in high heels, and I thought, God, her back is just going to be terrible when she's my age.
Yeah.
You know, I guess one last question to kind of touch back to what you're talking about with movies. On Mondays, I always bring up box office numbers. It's one of my passions because I love theaters. I love being with people and seeing a movie. I miss going to comedies. Like you said, there's only the superhero movies or your Ghostbusters, Star Wars in the theaters now. And I miss laughing at a Jim Carrey or Adam Sandler movie. I miss going and watching a good drama like Sixth Sense, something I saw with my dad in theaters. And that doesn't happen as much anymore. But like you said, hey, things are on digital. And Christine, you could go ahead. I'll wrap up with Jason. Sorry about this, everyone, including
Jason.
Where's
he going?
To take care of our son. He's at the door again.
Oh.
yeah. And I just lost. Oh, so like you said about the digital thing offering more people to get exposed to things. But like you said, they're not getting that theater experience. What's the digital platform and streaming access, is it worth losing what we seem to be losing in theaters?
Well, I have mixed feelings about it because I, like you, I do like to watch things at home. I do like that, and I'm looking forward. But today I'm going to go see, you know, the film, The Power of the Dog. With Kirsten Dunst. It's a film that Jane Campion directed. I'm going to go see that at 2:15.
Is that the one where she's like at a farm? I
heard that she's great in Cumberbatch. I was invited to the Oscar content. Oh God, why is this happening?
It's okay.
I was invited to this contenders thing for people who vote for the award shows. And so I was really excited about that. And I was hearing about all these movies, and this movie made me want to go see it. I saw King Richard already, and I also saw Tick, Tick, Boom.
Okay, Andrew Garfield's latest.
It's my favorite time of the year when you see all the really good movies. So I love all this. I'm the only sadness about it for me is I wish I was in one of them.
I can understand that. Yeah.
I really wish I was in one of them, but it's so hard right now because people have not worked and, you know, everybody is doing everything. I mean, there's the person who would do my role would be someone who would, you know, have been on a series or something. Now they're taking the one day guest stars and the, you know, supporting roles and in movies. And it's a strange time. That's why we don't know what's going on, but this is my favorite time of the year, going to the movies. But I forgot what the question was.
asking whether or not what people are gaining in content exposure on digital is worth losing.
And our TVs have gotten bigger.
Yeah, that's true.
So we're doing that. And some of the movies you can watch on that. So, you know, we would have a movie night once a week during COVID, two of the guys that were friends of mine during the bubble. So, you know, that's hard. So there is good. But I like that it's both, you know. Mm-hmm. But I think there's got to be a way of sharing the wealth with everyone.
Yeah,
and that's the problem, too, is that we're not sharing the wealth. And that has to do with these large companies, but that's a whole other conversation.
If you ever want to talk movie business side of things, shoot me an email. Bring you in on Monday. We can look at box office numbers and start breaking things down and go on the court. Disney is about, they overrode the rule against studios having their own theaters, and Disney's already looking at the potential of a Disney theater. Like, I still want theaters to exist.
Why do they not want them to have their own theater? Because it's a monopoly.
It goes back to the old studios system, and when you could basically, the bigger the studio, and especially today when you look at what Disney has versus what, say, Sony Pictures has, you could outcompete the studios based on your the amount of product you can push out versus others, and the amount of money one studio like a Warner Brothers can spend versus I'll bring up because when you think about it, what are the big studios now? Warner, Disney, and Sony. Because Fox,
Fox, Universal, Paramount too.
And Fox went to Disney, and Universal under NBC. Universal, again, that's a big studio, so they could even potentially push out Sony a bit on their own, but they still don't have the size that, you know,
everybody wants. It's like Disney has pulled themselves out of all the other platforms because they want their own money, which is okay. I don't know. I don't know enough about it to speak of it, but it seems like if they can do it, why not? I mean, that's fair capitalism. But I just think that my problem is that they're not paying everybody.
And it can also lead to the competitive issues, which, I'm a near laissez-faire type market guy, but
competitive when you're going to the theater, the AMC or something. Think.
Isn't not really. When think about how AMC and Regal have pushed out a lot of local theater owners, and even
What you're saying. So then other people don't have the opportunity,
exactly,
because they're not. Oh, it's not even. You're not all represented, but it isn't even. It's not even. Nope. You go to the shows I want to see are always in the little small theaters.
Yep, and that's the other part of that. Not just Disney putting only Disney movies in there, but being able to wipe out access to smaller features, projects,
They're not smaller features.
For lack of a better phrase,
that. What does that mean?
Budget usually.
Did you see Nomad?
No, I did not.
Now, why didn't you see that? It won Best Picture of the Year. What would make you not want to see that? Tell me the.
It's marketing. I saw one ad on the internet, and I can't even tell you when I had seen the ad. I know the movie. I know that it's coming out for.
It's on Hulu now, if you want to see it.
Hulu? Okay.
Yeah. You should watch it with your wife. Because it's a beautiful film, and it's what it's really about. It's about companies like Amazon and what happens when you have this big company in your town and that company goes under. What happens to these people? And what happens when you get over a certain age? You know, what happens when you do that? Where do you go? You know, you made all this, you worked your whole life. I mean, that's what white people are mad about, really. And they thought that Trump could help them. I still don't understand that connection. You know, but because
I didn't vote for him. You can come back in if you want. Yeah, absolutely. Okay.
But I mean, that's where a lot of white people felt that they were not being able to, they were sold this bill of goods that, hey, if you vote for this guy, you will be able to get a better life and you'll be able to be rich too. Come to the Trump University, buy his steak and his wine and his, you know, underpants or whatever he was selling. and you will be able to be like me, but it's not true. It isn't. And it has nothing to do with that. It has to do with that. The idea that people were given, you know, this extra money every month during COVID, I think was the best thing that we could have done for America. And they say, well, people don't want to work now. They're figuring out what they want to do. Now they have the money to go, what do I want to do? Why not? We did this for tax breaks for people who are rich all the time, and they made tons and tons of money.
Yeah,
hairdressers not wanting to go back because so many of them were being mistreated. Baristas, just some of the stuff
service
that you,
industry men.
Well, it's like that kind of money. It's not even being mistreated, which is an important thing. What it was about is that they were not, their value was not the same. Now in LA, the minimum in West Hollywood, I think I saw in some thing, is now going up to $17 an hour. And a lot of these small businesses says they're not going to be able to, you know, afford that. And I thought, well, maybe it needs to change the way everything goes down. Maybe tipping should stop. And we should just pay someone a decent wage for working someplace.
How it is part in of Europe that. And most of Asia. She's lived almost 9 years in Europe. I've lived almost 6 years in Europe. And
it seems like a terrible thing.
It's very, very good. Once you realize the differences, because from the American point of view, you're like, well, wait, some people can make a crap ton on tips versus an hourly wage.
And depending on what kind of restaurant is, what kind of food.
The person that they are, how they work.
Any job in some terrible fast food, mm-hmm. who wants to work? That's exactly. hard work every day.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know,
yep. I've seen – oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I see the people – Starbucks rushing around and mm-hmm. you know all the time, and I think this is a hard job. They should be paid yeah. a wage that they can live on. When did it happen? When we just don't. My aunt worked at McDonald's and her husband worked in the post office sorting mail, and mm-hmm. they made a living. They sent their kids to college and they both married them off, and they were able to do yeah. all this. They lived in a 2-bedroom apartment, a small apartment, but they still had a home and were able to do all this stuff. They were able to retire and. You know, she became a teacher. The other one works in a, I'm not very close to her, raised her kids and works in a clothing store. They were able to have, you know, do stuff with their lives. Not that, you know, that means you're going to be happy or whatever, but it's just not fair.
Yeah.
You know, it's just not fair. The each job should be like this. I mean, the amount of money. But that's the way it is in the movie business right now. It's yeah. very, very black and white, you know.
Yeah.
With that said, it's getting late, but I.
Oh yeah, I was gonna try to get you going for yourself as well, guys.
Well, Jason, please just yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Now you go ahead.
Oh, okay. I was gonna say, Jason Stewart, ladies and gentlemen, Comedy Chateau on December 3rd, headlining the Desert Rose Playhouse January 8th. Told you about all the great projects.
North Hollywood and Palm Springs. Yeah.
There you go. Including the movies available on Amazon and Smothered, the series you have going on. Was there anything else you wanted to plug or say, Jason?
Just go to jasonstewart.com, Stuart, Stuart, and you can hit me up. And all my social media is on that page. And I so thank you guys. You're a lovely couple. Where do you live? What state?
But Virginia. We're on the Mid-Atlantic coast.
Oh, wow. Well, wonderful. Oh. I maybe someday I'll come. I've never done a show in Virginia that I think.
Careful of the drivers.
Oh, God. Oh, God. I've driven to L.A. I've driven to New York. I've driven to Chicago. Nothing is worse than Virginia. Anyways, Jason, thank you so much for
thank
being
Thank you very much.
On.
I hope to hear from everybody.
Absolutely. Yeah,
thank you.
Have a good one, bud.
Bye.
Here.
All right. Jason, thank you so much once again for being on the show. Ooh, excuse me. Really do appreciate it. It was a great, great conversation. Lots of topics. I can't believe all the places we went with that conversation. But always fun. I want to do more segments like that, guest segments. You know, not just a 10-minute interview, which are great. Please we would love to help you promote whatever it is you're working on. But also, if you're interested, if you're a filmmaker, musician, cosplay, if you are involved in entertainment or geek culture somehow, some way, and you would like to do like a guest segment, you know, be on the show for 30, 40 minutes even, you know, shorter if you want. Hey, come on, plug your stuff, and then we can talk about whatever the subject matter is for the day.
Yeah.
I'm down.
Or just trail off and talk about all sorts of stuff and have fun with that.
Yeah, which is exactly what happened there. So, but hey, guys, it's a long episode already because of that awesome guest segment. So let's go ahead and do the housekeeping. LRMonline.com every day for all your entertainment news, needs, and opinions. Genreverse.com still currently goes here. We're working on, I think it was the contract with our podcast distribution. I don't think that's up yet. So anyways, when all that stuff's settled, we're supposed to be getting our Genreverse landing pages and it'll be really fun, you guys. So yeah, check that out. Lots of cool stuff coming up on the Genreverse podcast network out now. The Cantina for this week. Nick and I did our Hawkeye reviews, the Wheel of Time, our new the Dragon Review podcast for the Wheel of Time series, guys, is a really cool idea. Check that out. Anime Versal, our show is out of schedule sync from what we were at, so we might be doing a movie this weekend, or we'll see. But stay tuned for Anime Versal. Breaking Geeks off for the week. They'll be back next week, and of course the Daily Cup of Genre. All of that goes over to our YouTube channel, LRM's YouTube channel, along with all of our interviews and the red carpet and in person round tables, all Zoom interviews, of course, all sorts of really great content there. Christine, anything else you needed to plug or say or anything like that?
No.
All right, guys, thank you so much for joining us this week. We'll see you next time. Have a good one.